Good morning. Today's reading comes from Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together and in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard from them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So over the last 2 years, almost every single Sunday, four kids have stayed after church for at least an hour, sometimes a little over an hour, we're sorry, to learn more about, number one, who God is, what the Bible is to them, but also really how can they be raised up with Christianity, and how can they understand who Jesus is to them personally. And I could not be more prouder of these four students. I have known them for at least 2 years. I'm thinking a little more. I'm losing my sense of time here. So I think it's probably a little more than 2 years, but it's been great. So this morning, they're actually going to be reading their confirmation papers that they wrote
you guys wrote it in a couple of days, a couple of weeks, you know. But they're going to be reading their confirmation papers, and then they're actually going to be giving their vows to say that they do believe in God as the Heavenly Father, they do accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they do believe in the Holy Spirit, and that they will continue to know and do the will of God as taught through the Scriptures, as well as be loyal to the Church of Christ. And after those vows, we would then invite each one up one by one and lay hands on them. They each have a sponsor, and their sponsor will come forward at that time as well. And these sponsors are someone who has helped them during this time, or throughout their life, not even just during this time, to better understand Christianity, better understand who God is. And we're excited for these sponsors as well, because they've made a difference in these students' lives, whether they knew it or not. So at that time, we will have the sponsors come forward for the laying of the hands for each student. But I want to introduce you to these students before I start setting them up to do their papers. So for our papers, we will first have David up. Not yet, don't worry. We're good. And David is so eager to know God. He is so excited to know more. He asks all the really good questions that none of us are really ready to ask, and we're too afraid to ask, because we're like, well, maybe everyone else knows this, so maybe I just don't, and I'll just be quiet. No, he wants to know them. He's like, okay, I have a question. Please give me information. And we will give him information. And if you do not know this about him, then pay attention at coffee hour. He loves his family. And not just his immediate family, his extended family. You will most likely find him with one of his cousins hanging on him. He is just great with kids, and he has such a heart for God. Next, you'll hear from Kaylee. Kaylee is so kind. She's ready to help if you go, hey, I have a question for you. And she'll be like, I got you. I can help. What do you need? She is right there to help. And she asks the hard questions. She asks the hard questions of, you know what? Why? How? And you'll hear a little bit about that in her paper, so I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give that away. But she is so eager to have a relationship with God. It is so great to see that. We'll then see Jacob Sirfoss. He will come up. And you may know him if you know anything about the youth group. He is the comedic one of the youth group. But he is so knowledgeable. He can usually stump us with facts that we don't know. And when I get to stump him, I am so excited. It's so great. But that doesn't happen often, to be honest. But he is so gentle and kind. He's like a gentle giant. He really is. And then lastly, we'll hear from our oldest, Matthew. Matthew is very humble. He's very kind. He's very quiet. But he has, again, just a heart for God, and he wants to help. He wants to be a part of it and wants to help with everything. And the best way that I can describe him, which I know it sounds crazy, is he is an old man in a young man's body. He really is. He has such an old soul. But they have been great to know, especially throughout these last 2 years of confirmation and beyond. And I'm so excited for you to meet them and hear, and for you to hear their papers and to witness their vows and also the prayers that we have for them. So David, I'm going to invite you to come up to read your paper.
In view of the gifts God has given me, I will serve Jesus Christ by being the very best version of myself physically, mentally, and spiritually. I'll read scripture daily and resist the motivations of the modern world. God's wisdom and guidance will help me reject temptation and embrace Christianity. My dream is to play soccer professionally. This has always been my goal. I want to show others that even if the chances of achieving my dreams are slim, I will work hard to play professional soccer, but this is not my only goal. I am also an editor who has reached thousands of people through editing, things that interest me. I plan to continue to do the same type of editing, but in God's favor. I want to have thousands of people view my gospel scripture edits online. I plan to use my talents to use the gospel by making a Jesus-directed account on social media and posting 2 videos a week on YouTube Shorts and various other online platforms. I want to make sure that people hear about Jesus Christ before the eventual rapture. I can guarantee that people will hear about Christ through my talent of editing. I want to be a pro soccer player and a Christian editor who will reach thousands of people. These are the gifts God has given me, and I will use them to serve Jesus in my life. Thank you for listening.
I've heard many times about how people heard from God and the path that they chose to follow in order to follow his plan. Something that those people don't talk much about is how they feel throughout their experiences. I've written about my especially low times and described how I felt going through it. I felt horrible, to say the least. I lost faith in God when the events occurred. I didn't wonder why I was being put through it. I wanted to know why it happened so fast. All living animals, including humans, have an age span. and some are cut short by many possible factors. 1 second an animal's perfectly healthy, then a week later it gets sick and passes away with an untreatable brain tumor. I'd prayed for it to get better, convinced myself that it could be treated. I didn't even get to be with it for the last vet visit. I was angry, and I wanted to know why God had taken something so special from me in the blink of an eye. After that day, I remember thinking, if he, the one being known for having great mercy and love for everything, were real, then why would he take my family member like this? I prayed for a sign, and I looked everywhere. After months of silence, I stopped looking for him. For me, I really wanted to believe that he was real. And there have been many reports of some supernatural occurrences that couldn't be explained. Science has been proven to explain some things about, but they haven't been able to explain two interesting things, conscience versus soul and Big Bang. I find it very hard to believe that something was created out of nothing, or that the Big Bang is a practical way of creating a universe. I also don't understand how a human conscience can just be created and put into a body out of nothing. Going back to Christianity, however, I do find it sort of hard to believe some of the stories that other people, or even the Bible itself, describes. My question is, how do you fit two animals of every species on a boat? To say the least, I have very conflicting thoughts about God. Despite everything and all of the doubts, I still want to believe that God is real, and that by following his plans, I might be able to understand. I know that there are many things I could, should, or want to change in order for me to get closer and understand God more. Recently, I have been very motivated to participate more with our church, FCC Hanson. I'm already part of youth group, and I'm graduating confirmation, but I feel like it isn't really enough. I'm sort of obligated to do both from peer pressure between the church community and my family. Many people would break down from this feeling of obligation, and as a result, feel like they're being forced into Christianity. For me, I feel that if I did more in general, that I would get closer to God. It's probably what he'd like if I showed that I was more interested in what he had planned. As well as joining more service activities, I think my relationship would benefit from just letting him into my life more and changing the scenery. I could spend more time in the church itself and with the community. I can ask for more activities that could not only improve my relationship to him, but also let me help others in the process. Even when I'm not within the church grounds, I could dedicate more of my time at home to him. Some examples could be focusing on other ways to improve our relationship, or spending an hour minimum reading the Bible a day. I should pay more attention to the smaller things in life, the things that most people take for granted. The tiny things like money, which, for example, is for many people is one of the only things that gives someone power. This handheld portable power is one of the only ways a person can keep themselves fed. For many, this proves to be a difficult task, and there are many homeless people who, for whatever the reason, are barely scraping by. It hurts to see people like that. Naturally, a person feels bad for them. What is really motivating me to take more action and pay more attention to the small things in life is because of what Mary Lou told us about when she went to Africa. The way she described it, with poverty being the children's daily routine, sounded horrible. I don't believe that anyone should have to live like that. To me, it sounded like a nightmare, and that's when I realized how lucky I am. If I was born as one of them, poverty would have been a normal thing for me. I think about my current everyday life, what I use or do, that must seem alien to so many other people. I believe that if I became something, an activist or a social influencer, that I might have the potential to bring even more awareness and hopefully have the power to bring even more people out of poverty. It's a lot to try to look forward to, but I feel that if I did this, I would be even closer to God.
In view of the gifts God has given me, I will serve him by committing to every word he has given us and being an example of Christian faith in a secular world.
God has given me several gifts in my life so far. I've learned to play 5 instruments. I can learn languages, sometimes too quickly, and other things. The pattern I see is that these are all things that can either be used to serve the world or to serve God. You have already seen how I've used my musical talent to serve God. I started playing in a worship band about a year ago. As for the second, I've thought about going on mission trips several times in the past few years. After all, it was commanded by Jesus that we are to make disciples of all nations. In my opinion, the best way to spread Christianity is being an example. People will see how it changes the way you act and will want it to be the same for them. The point of evangelism is to show people how it makes you the way you are. We live in a world of sin, but many people do so out of ignorance. When you show someone how it's supposed to work, they'll likely follow suit. Unfortunately, there aren't many people living a Christian lifestyle, despite saying they are Christian. My relationship with Jesus isn't a part-time job. It's supposed to be followed in every aspect of my life. Too many people just don't see it this way. Living the Ten Commandments is the bedrock of what Christianity is all about. If I'm living the commandments, I'm setting an example for non-believers to show them what a life in Christ can offer them. Without commandments, it's impossible to live a Christian lifestyle. Commands from God aren't optional. I'm not supposed to live according to the world and then just say, whoops, sorry for everything, and then continue living my worldly life. I've learned that Jesus expects that I will truly ask for forgiveness and change the way I live in order to walk with him. To summarize, using the gifts God has given me, I will serve him by setting an example to the world, to other Christians, and to myself of what it truly means to be a Christian.
In light of the gifts God has given me, I will serve him by performing his will on earth. Rather than trying to deny his gifts or trying to enact my own will rather than God's, I will honor God by committing myself fully to his vision. While I cannot say now the specifics of his plan for me, I can dedicate myself to his plan and trust that he will always be there for me. To do this, I will attempt to honor the Bible and the church in all my actions, and follow laws put out for me by them. As stated in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a gift of the Holy Spirit is given to all of us, and with that gift, God allows us to participate and help in his plan. According to the spiritual gifts assessment I completed, I have been granted the gift of administration, and with this gift, it can be assumed that my planned purpose is to help administrate and lead with the church and use the gift given to me to help with God's purpose. To build off this, I will offer to help and participate in the church and its activities, using my gift to benefit the church and others. The plan God has put in place for me is one I may never fully understand, but I must abide by it. God has a plan for all of us, and it is our responsibility as his creations to try to follow his plan rather than our own. While it may not always be easy or straightforward, it is righteous and should be something for which I and other Christian commit. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a plan for every one of his creations, and this plan is one for goodness and love rather than of temptation and evil. He sets out and puts into place a plan which can take me along his path, providing the opportunity for me to use the gifts that he gave me for his plan. To honor God and his gifts, I will honor the path God has set out for me through prayer and Bible study for advice. Finally, I will honor God's gift by honoring his word. The Bible sets out a number of rules and expectations for all the people of the earth to try to emulate God's will. It is, then, my responsibility to try to live by these rules and expectations, whether I want to or not. Rather than trying to bend God's word to my will or simply ignoring it, my objective in life is to obey the word of God in all actions and try to live my life by the standard he put in place. By doing this, I will honor God's will and commit myself to his message. God has given me and millions of others his gifts to allow us to honor him in all that we do. While it is not my place to know the plan he has out for me or how I will use this gift to help him, I must trust that there is a plan for me to try to follow it as long as I live. I will then have used his gifts, followed his plan, and honored his word to have served him in all that I did.
So now I have questions for you to answer as you make your confirmation vows. Do you believe in God as your heavenly Father?
I do.
Do you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit as your Comforter and God?
I do.
Will you continue striving to know and do the will of God as taught in the Holy Scriptures?
Will you be loyal to the Church of Christ wherever you are and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, and your gifts and your service?
I will.
Thank you. Forward, please. I need you to hold these where I can see them. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your servant David. Thank you for his kindness and thoughtfulness toward others who need the help and strength of loved ones older and stronger than they are. Thank you for his faith, for his willingness to follow you into the waters of baptism. We give you praise for the grace and dedication which he displays upon the soccer field, the creativity and ingenuity with which he sharpens his craft as a video editor. Help him to do all to the glory of God. Now as he kneels at the threshold of life as a man, almighty and eternal God, we pray that you would strengthen your son David with your Holy Spirit, our comforter, and daily increase him your sevenfold gift of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Lord. And keep him in your mercy unto life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a blessing, Lord, for us to know Jacob, your servant. His name reminds us of the father of the 12 tribes. We ask that he, like his namesake, would leave a legacy that will bless the world. Thank you for his bright mind and willing spirit. Thank you that he loves to laugh and has stepped forward to serve you as bass player for our worship band. Have your hand upon him in the years before him, that his eagerness to do what is good and pleasing to you might be matched both by a continuing awareness of your will and the gifts and strength to do it. Confirm, O Lord, your son Jacob with your heavenly grace, that he may continue yours forever, and daily increase in him your Holy Spirit more and more until he comes to your everlasting kingdom. In Jesus' name. We are grateful to you, Lord, For your servant, Matthew. Thank you for how you combine in him both a penetrating sense of humor and also a strong inner drive to contend for the truth. His future, including graduation, right before him. Would you help him to know which path to take? Assure him that you will be with him, walking beside him not only through the valleys, but also up the mountaintop experiences of life. So almighty and eternal God, strengthen your son Matthew with your Holy Spirit, our comforter. Daily increase in him your sevenfold gift of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And keep him in your mercy unto life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're grateful to you, Lord, for your servant, Kaylee. Thank you for the many aspects of her personality, both quiet and outgoing. Thank you for her mind and her dedication to seeking the truth. You are the great truth. Thank you also, Lord, for the family, both nuclear and extended, which envelops her in their care and has nurtured her toward your brighter future. You've given her a strong mind, an able body, and a heart that is compassionate toward those who could benefit from a helping hand. Thank you that she knows how to be a true friend. Confirm, O Lord, your daughter, Kaylee, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever. And daily increase in her your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to your everlasting kingdom. Through Christ our Lord.
I often say that the grand privilege of being a Christian pastor is a front row seat as I get to watch God do wonderful things in the lives of people. All the more today. We've met for 2 years worth of Sundays. We've studied the Old Testament, learned how God has always been at work to call to himself a people to be his very own. We looked at the New Testament and saw how God worked through human history to bring his only son to be born into the world just when we needed him most. They looked at Jesus' life, his miracles, his teachings, and especially his offering himself on the cross as a sacrifice to take away the sins of all who would believe in him, that he did this by bearing in his own body the penalties due you and me. Then we put that all together and studied the book, Seven Steps to Knowing, Doing, and Experiencing the Will of God. They know that God is always at work around them and that he's always eager to have a love relationship with them. And that came out as well in our second reading for today, which is Acts chapter 2, continuing on where we left off, beginning at verse 14 and going to verse 21. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And on these young men and women, we've seen God's Spirit poured. I was so pleased to see them respond to the stretching that happened to the year. They were not deeply pleased to prepare their papers. Little subtle indications. But they were deepened by the process, each one of them. And every time I teach a confirmation class, I'm glad that it's a two-year process, because often I see adulthood blossom in each student who enters much more a child and leaves much more a young adult. As you may know, during the April vacation, three of the four, along with three others from the youth group, served for a day at Mobile Ministries in New Bedford. They prepared meals, hundreds of sandwiches, hot dogs, and other meals, packed the food truck that's jointly owned by seven churches down there, and then traveled with Mary Lou and myself to a park in the inner city where people who struggle to have reliable food and shelter knew that they could come and receive from Mobile Ministries. Jacob served hot drinks. I think Matthew helped outfit the clients and with clothing that was also stacked in the truck. Kaylee and her friend Sherry helped men, women, and children get the hygiene products that can make a world of difference when you're struggling. I should also mention that Jacob and Ian Town were also helping ably. Thanks, guys. Afterward, we debriefed over Italian food. It's important. And thank you, Mary Lou, for that. And they remarked how they were struck that the people they served, who are often labeled poor, homeless, what have you, were much more like them than they had somehow pictured. I was very proud of each of them. And I wouldn't blame them for feeling squeamish, either about working with strangers in general or by this encounter with people who have problems that we all would rather didn't exist in our world. But most of all, throughout the confirmation process, especially in some of the crowning components of these 2 years, I saw the truth of God faithfully fulfilling his promise, recorded in Philippians 2:13, that God is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the Holy Spirit at work, the Spirit who transformed 12 ragtag disciples into world changers. Not only has he given them gifts unique to their personalities and opportunities, as you've heard, they've also been given the ability to testify to their faith. God is worth knowing. Somebody needs to hear that today. God is worth knowing. The same God that has sustained this church through centuries and who will continue to be at work among us. I should also say how grateful I am to both Pastor Sarah and to Mary Lou Hall for the genuine love for the students and for their willingness to speak to a variety of topics from their own faith experiences, sometimes with about 3 seconds worth of warning. So Kaylee, David, Matthew, Jacob, God has set you apart for his purposes. This is not a burden, but rather a privilege, because he has a plan for your life that takes into account all that he made you to be. Those of us who know you can testify what a blessing you are to us, and to the world, and will be to coming generations. May God bless you always. Let's welcome these young people.